Welcome to the Horror Friendly Podcast.
It's not over since that bitch is dead.
Let's delve into that a bit deeper.
I'm going to be like the peacekeeper between you two tonight.
Don't fuck with the original.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Horror Friendly Podcast, part of the You Run Podcast Network. My name is Katie, and I am joined by Chantel. We haven't got Charlie this week, but we do have a very special guest. We have my brother, James. Hi, James.
Hi. What an honor to be on my favorite podcast.
Aww.
I'm such a suck up.
Never ever listen to any episode ever.
Yeah,
no, I'm a loyal listener.
Yeah,
we love the feedback.
Yeah, like, we get feedback from James occasionally, and it's good. It's it helps.
I sound sarcastic, but we actually legit do, because it's like helpful. I can't think of an example though. It's been a while, but yeah, come on, James, up you go.
But yeah, I think he's been shocked at some of your scores recently, Tel. So I don't know what you're going to score this. Like, it feels like you have just been chaotic, man, with your scores.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a weird one lately.
You've been on a weird one.
Yeah, I really don't know. I feel like I just suddenly went, who likes horror anyway? Let's piss everyone off. Like, I don't know.
Well, that's your opinion. That's what makes for good, you know, having the wrong opinion.
That's what makes everyone angry, as they're driving along going, what the fuck is she talking about?
Yeah, she unloaded the thing three. Two spooks.
It's just afterwards when it's like, well, you still haven't changed my mind, so I'm sticking with it. Like, sorry.
You're just fully in your villain era right now.
Yeah, I really am. But again, like, it's probably a good thing, James wasn't on some of them. Which ones have I pissed you off with most?
Well, The Thing was bad. And Hereditary was bad as well.
I forgot about The
those
Thing.
Those ones are probably the most heinous crimes against horror. Also, Wrong Turn, I thought, is an awful film. And you guys were really kind about it. And I was like, I know this film that they're talking about. And that film fucking sucks.
Mitch gave it like a 4 or something.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so I need to look back at that.
They're the ones that spring to mind anyway.
That's so funny. We probably were, to be fair. It is, isn't it? It's like, I always feel bad when it's something like The Thing where everyone raves about it.
Yeah.
And you still see it on like the top 20 films, and I'm just like,
I don't get it.
But I'm also aware I might be wrong because it's still making these lists, but I just don't get it. Explain it to me.
maybe you need to give it more watches or something. It's just different. I mean, I will see what your opinion is on this, because I'm intrigued to tell. But I don't think ever watch this together, me and you. So
no, well, should we crack on with it, and then we can figure out what our first thoughts were.
Always look, you've got to call the police.
There's a payphone in back, but it's broke.
Look, you don't understand, there is a maniac trying to kill us.
Welcome to New York.
So this week we are covering the 1989 Friday the 13th part 8.
Sure.
VI111III. I think that's 8. Jason Takes Manhattan. I love it. That wasn't the important part, what the number was. Okay, so Jason Voorhees gets on a cruise ship to Manhattan and begins a bloodbath. Furthermore, Reddy and her friends manage to escape his clutches, only to find themselves being stalked. I love that it says, like, gets on a cruise ship as if he just had a ticket and wandered on.
He's just like, holiday time.
Hey! That should have been it. Jason takes a holiday. Okay, James, as our guest, do you remember your first time watching this? What were your first thoughts?
So the background of this is, when we were younger, I challenged Katie to watch all of the Friday the 13th films. And I was getting kind of, I think it was when I was at uni, and I was just getting texts from the trenches from her, just like, just watch Friday the 13th, six, this is what happened. And then one of the highlights of that was Jason Takes Manhattan. And so a few years later, we watched it together. And I thought it was pretty bad the first time that I watched it. Like it's a the titles and lie, like he's barely in Manhattan. And yeah, so I wasn't a huge fan, but it's a funny film and it's stupid and it's quite a good one to talk about because they try a lot of things that aren't him taking Manhattan and
So
not many of
many.
them work.
Insane.
That was, to be fair, that was my bit where I was like checking the time and I was like, he's only just hit, they've only just hit Manhattan.
It's like nearly over.
I forgot how much was on the boat. Go on then, Katie. What about, I actually, do you still have the text from Katie like reviewing these? Because that would be amazing. Like
It's
several.
probably a long time ago, so I don't think so, but
No, what a shame. We can make some mock-ups.
That would have been hilarious.
I just think it was just constantly like, oh, I've just finished this one. It's just forgettable, like, because some of the films in Friday the 13th franchise I have a lot of time for, like, they're good. And I actually thought this was one that I had a bit of a soft spot for. Just because it is just dumb and but it's just like fun watching it, like with a couple of beers, like with mates or whatever. But actually watching it again, I felt very differently about it. But a lot of the films in this franchise, like I do find they are just kind of fun, like Jason X, and so I feel like that when he's in space, for anyone that isn't familiar. Yeah, I don't know. So I just my first thoughts of this were, yeah, that it was just fun. At least it was just not just kind of like a, they did start to get a bit stale, like four and five were kind of just getting a bit, it was just all the same. So it was quite funny, like having, okay, now he's just in fucking New York, like fine. So at the time watching it, I thought it was quite fun. But yeah, watching it now, I have a very different opinion on it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed. I thought I would enjoy this rewatching this a lot more than I did. But it's still, I still think it's quite like it is fun in the right environment. But yeah, maybe not watching it on a weekday, not drinking may not be the right thing for it. What about you, Tel? Is this your first time watching it?
So I
Have
can't
we
remember.
watched it before?
I was trying to remember, and I actually can't remember my first time watching this. I know that I had because there was bits that were familiar, but I don't know. Maybe it was a film we did watch home over because
Probably.
we did that a few times. So yeah, I think I did just kind of like miss it or think I'd thought I'd watched it, so I didn't really come back to it. But what, as you say, like watching it when you're doing it for the podcast, and you're like, okay, I have to pay attention and like. Yeah, you're not just relaxing and enjoying it. You're watching it to like look for things, and it's so weird to just be like, "Oh, what is happening?" And as like 1989, I do want to know if any other slashers at this point were kind of doing this ridiculous stuff, or if they were the first to kind of go, "Why don't we just put Jason in Manhattan on a ship? Why not?" I, because I did think, yeah, it was fun to try.
Well, it was hitting the 90s, wasn't it? I suppose that was like the time that slashers and things were kind of taking a bit of a back seat. Like, you did have, like, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and Scream was obviously more sort of like the end of the 90s where it kind of slashers were revived. But I think it was getting into that point where they weren't really sure what to do with slashers. So I think it did. It was, it, I think, yeah, I think it did hit a bit of a, they just weren't really sure what to do with them. So I think you're right. I think like it coming out this kind of, it coming out in 1989, I don't think is a good sign that, I don't think it wasn't, slashers weren't kind of in their prime at that point, basically.
The big warning sign is part eight. Part
Yeah.
eight is bad. Unless you're kind of, Deathly Hallows Part Two, there's not
Yeah.
much going on there in part eight. So I think it's like media, like they shouldn't have got this far.
Yeah.
That's the thing though. Once you get that far, do you just keep going? Like, at what point are you like, we're in this now? We're just,
Well, they did. Fucking Jason X. They did.
just
They
keep going.
continued. But that's good. I think that's an interesting point because the next one, they go to hell, right?
Yes.
And then the one after that, he goes to space. So then they've gone really far and they're like, we're just fucking doing this.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, we're in between where they're like, we have to be slightly more like, oh, how does he get to New York? He goes on a ship for an hour. Now he's in hell, now he's in space, that's fine.
Like, yeah, you get to the point where it's just like, this is what this franchise has turned into, and that's fine.
It's like stupid self-parody. But at this point, it wasn't quite there.
No, that's true. They still wanted to make it scary and gory, which it was neither, but like, it still had some fun moments in it.
Yeah.
It's like, they wanted to do this, they didn't, but they tried.
Yeah, that's our takeaway of this film.
But like, because I made the note, I was like, this is literally all you could play fucking 80 slashes bingo with this. Because within the first 5 minutes, we'd seen boobs. And then the same couple start having sex. So obviously, they're the first to die. Like, you could literally play bingo with this. And I just kept writing them all down. But I was just like, again, did they start this trope? Trope. My brain isn't working. Apparently, I have had too much of them. I was like, did they start this? Where it was like, all the things to sort of not look out for, but they get associated with slashes.
I think that was just going, I think what they did is they just threw everything at this film. Yeah. Like, got so ridiculous by this point where they were just like, let's just make it the same kind of thing, or let's just put them on a boat this time. And but let's again, get them to New York. And
yeah, people were buying tickets though to go and see it. So like, they were just going to give the audience what they wanted, which was...
Well, the marketing for it was bad. Like, I think that was the thing. Like, the whole thing was like, oh my God, like, this is going to be great. Like, it's Jason Voorhees in New York.
Yeah.
And they obviously thought the entire film was going to be placed there. And that would actually, I think, because I don't know what you guys think, but I think the best bits of the film was when he was in New York.
So they've just called it...
Did you love the boat, Chantal?
No, but they should have called it Jason Takes a Boat, because it's like, Jason Takes a Ferry. You never know. But like, you're right, like the best bits are in New York, but he doesn't get there for like an hour. Like, I mean, again, if we were to get to New York, it would take longer, but that's not the point. Like, we're not in a film. Could do one of those TikTok click things. But it's just funny because it's like the boat. I suppose the boat makes sense because the last we saw of Jason, he is underwater. Although as soon as we saw that bit again, all I could think of was that scuba dirt. Like, we have to go snorkeling in that lake. I was like... Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this, but there was like a couple that lived near, not where Camp Crystal Lake, maybe it was near where Camp Crystal Lake was filmed, like the first one. And they arranged for a scuba diver to take it down like a dummy of Jason Voorhees and have him chained up at the bottom of the lake. So when people go scuba diving, they'll like, or they go like swimming, they'll see him there. And that's all I could think about when I saw the beginning bit. And like, I fucking hate deep water anyway. Like, fuck that. But like, seeing that at the same time, I just never would. Oh, it just sounds just horrendous. What a cruel thing to do, but also a great thing to do.
But as we said, I think most people that sign up to do it know that he's down there, but we have a very fun idea to take Charlie and not tell her.
Yes.
The thing is, she still hasn't mentioned that from the other episode, so she still doesn't know this is a plan.
So we now have a trend where it just says, don't tell Charlie.
You never know.
We're still waiting to get a text 6 months from now that just says, you guys are cunts. And we haven't had it yet, so she hasn't heard. But we're like, we're going to have forgotten by the time she texts us and just be like, why are we cunts? What did we do?
You're probably right, but why?
But what, yeah, what did I do this time? So I've done so many cunty things this week. Which one is it?
Like, as you say, tell like the classic opening of a horror film where like, you got to kill off a couple first. And then obviously, you see him chained down there. I mean, that's just kind of standard slasher shit, isn't it? Like,
I mean, if only they dropped the anchor like 4 minutes later. Miss the electricity line.
Well, me and James were saying earlier though, like, it is really weird that they were like about to have sex and then like he just starts with this really dark story about a like, little boy that drowned.
Yeah, it's no
like,
one taught him.
You're not good at this like, dirty talk.
So who taught you foreplay? That's not a... Because she actually freezes.
She just fucks off, doesn't she? Like, when he's attacked by Jason, she just kind
runs
of
away.
Slips out, like, see you, mate. Like, absolutely no help or support whatsoever.
She just gives up, man. Like, he so slowly lowers that thing down to kill her. And she's like, for like 10 minutes. It's like, just roll out the fucking way, man.
I didn't think that. I was like, you could have done something, like anything. Like, but it is like, because what is it, fight, flight, or freeze? And she was flight and he was freeze. Neither of them had fight in them at all.
Too. Stupid.
I think they could have jumped in the water and swum away extremely.
Yeah. Or got electrocuted.
Well, this is the thing with Jason. Like, he obviously always manages to find you, but he does it in his own time.
Yeah.
So you could easily. He takes his time with it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what he is in this film, though. Yeah. It's all very confusing. Like, is he a supernatural thing?
Yeah.
I'd say yes, because he got killed so many, like he got shot at and nothing.
Yeah. That's very true, actually. Yeah.
But what kind of annoys me is he literally gets revived in the water by electricity, which don't fucking mix.
Oh, yeah. But
it's enough to revive him. And then at the end, he drowns. And I'm like, I'm sorry, bitch, what? Like,
logic.
There's no logic there.
he can kind of like magically transport himself too. He just kind of teleports around. But then when he, not to skip too much ahead, but when he does eventually get on the boat, he just kind of appears in the water, which implies that he swims, which is a really funny image. Like, what does, how does he swim?
Jason doing a little breaststroke.
Yeah, just like doing kind of like a.
So it turns out he doesn't.
And he must be really quick because he's got into the
skilled swimmer. Yeah,
it's like Michael Phelps.
Turns out he actually doesn't drown. He just sleeps underwater, and that's what actually woke him up. But he was just holding on to the bottom of the boat, and they were like, didn't realize he was there, and he was just holding his breath for a really long time.
Really?
It makes no fucking sense. I know it's a slasher, it doesn't have to make sense, but that has to make a little bit of sense. How did he get to New York?
Doesn't it?
How
That's
did he
really
get
funny that you mentioned about how he gets like
electrocuted underwater?
Electrocuted. I completely forgot about that bit, and like that's a totally normal thing that happens.
It would literally kill you. Like, and if your corpse got electrocuted underwater, it wouldn't bring you back.
Well, yeah, to James's point, though, like, when he does just manage to get, like, on the dance floor when he attacks that girl and then eventually kills her, like, she looks at each angle and he's just suddenly there.
Yeah.
So it must be implied that he's, like, some sort of supernatural thing.
Mm.
But, I mean, I say this about every single slasher, but I always find it scarier when, like, it's just a guy.
Yeah.
I think that's so cool. Like, that's much cooler. And I know at this point you can't really argue it because it's gone down such a silly route. But this is the thing that kind of, like, one of the things that throws it away for me, because it's like, oh, it's a bit of a shit. Because it's just more fun that it's a guy. Because Kane Hodder himself is, like, scary. Yeah. Built like a brick shit house. Like, the guy that plays Jason.
Yeah.
He's huge. And he's quite a scary Jason Voorhees. Like, I think he looks quite good. He's one of the better looking, I think, Jasons as part of the franchise, and it's just a shame that he was part of this one, I think.
But like,
well, maybe it isn't a shame. I mean, you do see a lot of Jason in this film, and there are some parts where he does look great. So,
On him being a good looking Jason, that is like, let's say, like, Jason is self aware, if nothing else, because when he gets to New York, he sees the hockey mask thing. And he thinks, I don't know if he thinks it's himself or if he just thinks he's going to blend in. I'm not really sure. But I thought that was quite funny.
He looks into the camera.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. He turns over his shoulder and looks directly down the lens of the camera. Like, that's me, guys.
It's me. I'm famous.
Hey, honey, don't look at the camera. It's like the number one rule of being an actor in the film.
Kane, play it cool. But then when he meets the teenagers and he wants to scare them, he just picks his mask up because he's like, this is horrific. This was so, like, he's very self-aware that he's ugly.
He's aware of his looks, yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
So,
yeah. Although, so I went on a bit of a tangent there about Kane Hodder, but
no, it's fine. You call him hot. That's fine. Although apparently, he did say, though, that he loved filming in New York because, like, loads of crowds of people were, like, waiting and watching the filming, so he never wanted to take the mask off because he didn't want to ruin the illusion. I said, like, that's pretty cool.
That is very fun. Yeah. And it is fun with him because he's a stuntman as well. So obviously everything that he does is all him. And, you know, when he like smashes through that glass when they're in the, it's the video of from our teaser on Instagram, if you haven't seen it, but when he just literally walks through that glass, like that is Kane Hodder doing it. And all of that kind of stuff is quite fun because it is all him.
Mm.
And, you know, he makes a good Jason, but I think maybe one of the scarier ones would have been better for Kane, but I don't know. I also kind of love that he was in this one as well. I don't know. I'm torn.
Well, because I'm sorry, I'll stop talking in a second. I did see a fact as well that so the big guy that approaches Jason and gets thrown into the mirror, so that is someone else who played Jason in Freddy versus Jason called Ken Kersinger. So who's also an actor and a stuntman. So I feel like if you're over 7 feet tall, you're just naturally going to have to be a stuntman because you're going to be playing these roles in your life.
Well, that's like the theme of all these slashers. Like, I swear it's every like villain is like a wrestler or a huge stuntman or something, you know, like tons of them out there. There's a lot of like jobs available for if you just want to be in a shitty slasher. I mean, I know they don't really exist much anymore, but.
No, but I'm only half kidding. I was like, honestly, if you're over 6'5", 7 foot, I honestly think you could get a job as an actor for those roles. Because again, like if they need, like you say, wrestlers or something, they need people who look the part. Stuntmen are normally, I say normally, they do have to match the actors. But for roles like this where they're in a mask, it's fucking great. But yeah. I just love that they were bringing back other Jasons to be like, yeah, come play it. Come do this.
Funny well, that's kind of like predicting the future because I think Freddy versus Jason hasn't been out yet. So
that's
I think
true, actually.
So it's like, oh, they know who they're going to get for the next, not the next, but.
Or he auditioned and they were like, hey, let's just keep you just in case Kane Hodder wants a day off.
I should know, but I don't actually know how many of these films Kane Hodder played Jason in. I don't know if it was just this one. But he's also Victor Crowley in Hatchet Tell, which obviously we're covering with Check the Candy. Kane Hodder will make another appearance on our podcast soon. But anyway, we're going on. I went on a Kane Hodder tangent there. I mean, should we get into some of the characters of the
that aren't Jason?
That aren't Jason. Yeah, let's steer away from Jason.
Yes. Who do you want to go with first?
I mean,
get all their names as we
let's get their
time.
Names. I mean, you had some thoughts on the teacher, when he's like weird guardian head teacher person.
I guess like my thought of the characters was that each person just has one defining characteristic and they really kind of go to town on that. So the teacher's like strict father figure.
Mm-hmm.
Then Rennie or Renee or whatever is kind of just scared.
Yep.
And then there's cocaine girl, guitar girl, camera boy.
Literally. Like,
all these guys just have...
Boxer.
Just boxing. Yeah, boxer. So you're just kind of told like one thing about all these people and that's all you need to know, really. Yeah.
Even the deckhand, he's just like, you're doomed. Like that's his entire thing.
Well, that's the standard slasher thing, isn't it? Yeah. Like when you've got the old man warning you before anything kicks off. So they've got him in there too. They wheel them all out, all like the stereotypes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
James was saying that like the girl, what is her name? I can't remember the name.
Cocaine girl.
We'll call her Cocaine Girl.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like no one knows their actual names, we just know their character.
I remember we watched it before and we were like, oh, this girl kind of sucks. And she does suck, but you also sort of have like a newfound love for her.
Yeah. When she pushed Rennie/Renee in the water, it was like, that's actually pretty funny.
That's pretty funny. Because she didn't know.
She just rushes up and just shoulder barges her in. It's like, oops.
It's the fact she fucks off. It's like, it was an accident and then leaves. And it's like, well, clearly you don't care.
It was not.
She was an interesting one because just fucking again there's always that one like bully popular girl, isn't there? And it's like, oh, you're gonna die because you're blonde. So but like trying to seduce the teacher, I was like, if you've got that, like put that much effort into like seducing the teacher and getting the camera boy there, just do the fucking homework. Like, it would have taken less time than setting all this up. Like,
it would have. Why did she go to so much?
Like, she had to draw a heart on herself or get someone else. And I was like, there's so much commitment into this. Also, like, they did coke and then absolutely zero reaction to the drugs. Which is the same as when Rennie gets, like, injected with, I think, heroin and then acts the exact same for the rest of the film. I said, this isn't a great advert not to do drugs, because this is telling me you're going to be fine.
If anything, it will make you draw a pretty, like, accurate biology test on your body, which is,
on
like,
myself.
Yeah, it must have been really difficult.
At a really great angle. I was like, "How? What is happening?
Maybe the camera guy did it for her. Who knows?
Actually, her name was Tamara, and I made that note because I was like, does the camera guy just love her because her name rhymes with camera? such stupid thing to write, like, notice.
Hey, that's a great thing to write, man.
I was like, what is wrong with me?
I love cameras and Tamara.
Literally. It's like, it's great. I can
read to a camera.
He's already written their like vowels because it all rhymes and worked out. But I was like, what is happening right now? Oh God, who else was there?
There was the guitar girl. That, I mean, that was like the most late 80s thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And like somehow she's like, oh, it sounds great from down here. And then just does like her guitar solo. It's like, this is so 1989. Like, I don't know how else to elaborate on that, but it just couldn't have been filmed any other time.
But also, wasn't this like meant to be like a senior school trip? Why are there like 10 students? Like... And as you say, each student had a character that had like a typical clique, but they had no friends in that clique because they were the only ones. So it's like, what's going on? Why are there only 10 kids on this entire ship? What's happening?
Yeah, I don't know if that was to do with like budget.
Maybe.
But yeah, it was weird. Like you could, and then there was like that really, what was it when the two girls see like that really handsome deckhand guy and then you just never see him again for the rest of the film? Like, oh, handsome guy to a cock. And then he just never appears again.
That's so true. I forgot about him.
Did he just die?
Like, he just survived. He's on that boat chilling, man.
He actually took Jason to Manhattan. That's how he got there.
Yeah, they successfully arrived in Manhattan.
Yes. It worked for me.
He's like, I got shit to do. I get paid in Manhattan. I'm taking the boat. Yeah, no, the teacher was fucking, like, as in the male teacher, guardian. Yeah, what the fuck? He was on the boat, on the rowboat. He pissed me off more than anything because it was like, are you going to get us to New York? I was like, you're not even helping. You're doing nothing. And then he got there and still insulted his students. I was like, fuck off.
Yeah, it was odd.
He was... Just a power trip, absolute walking power trip, going to bully children.
He was weird. He kind of got seduced by Cocaine Girl. And then, because he was kissing, like, he was sort of.
He wasn't, it. He could have absolutely just said no and walked out the door. It's when he's like,
stop taking your clothes off.
No.
No, stop doing that. Like, just leave.
What do you think you're doing? You're such a. When Rennie gets out of the, comes back in, he's like, good God. It's the worst. It just reminded me of like, great Scott. Like, like theatrical, terrible acting.
Good. But it was like, even the female teacher, I can't remember her fucking name. But like, she was supposed to be like, oh, I'm looking out for you. And I was like, what teacher has this relationship with the kid? Like, I'm gonna give you a lift and buy you a gift, and then later on she's like, have you never thought to learn to swim? I was like, she just got pulled out of the water, give her 3 seconds to get her breath before you start like psychoanalyzing.
Yeah, it's so critical, isn't it? Well, you do badly in that situation. You could have done a lot better, to be honest.
It's like, so what did we learn? Right, no, we're gonna take 5 minutes.
I think with the Charles, I think, is the name of the strict teacher from memory. I think with him, they hint at like he's actually all right in like the first section of the film. They're like, oh, he's strict, but he just cares about her or something.
Yeah.
But then they really abandon that very quickly.
Yes.
And just reveal him to be bad in every single possible way.
Yeah.
And so a more interesting thing would be if he was like, you know, he's strict because he cares about her and wants her to be safe. But actually it just reveals that, you know, later in the film, he like throws her in a lake and, you know.
Just tried to drown her. Was that after her parents died? Was he just like, I can't deal with the responsibility, and like threw her in a lake? Like, what happened? And then he changed his mind.
It wasn't really clear, like, how he... I don't really know. Because, yeah, was that flashback to do with... Yeah, I assume her parents had already died at that point.
Yeah.
But, like, it's kind of harsh. Like, her parents have just died, and then he's just like, swim.
Yeah.
Do it.
Get in the dirty water. You'll love it.
She's actually in the lake and he's like, do it, swim. Why don't I have to fucking swim? You need to teach me.
This is the point. I don't know how to do this.
You can't just say, just drive. You don't know how to drive.
Just do it, man. Isn't it? It's like the captain with the boat and he's like, you're now in charge of an entire boat. Just do it. Why is no one actually teaching these teenagers how to do anything?
Yeah, that captain and that guy's the father-son relationship was also just really pointless.
Was that just so we felt like we were like, oh, at least she has someone who understands because they've both got bad parents?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, yeah, he was the love interest and like the final guy, I guess. But like, I mean, the relationship, like, why did he have to be related to the captain?
No idea.
Like, advantage was that on this film? Like,
just so Charles could be like,
so gutted when he couldn't learn how to do the boat. He was just like crestfallen. We didn't like signal the horn before they left.
Yeah.
No.
Like, but didn't, like, you know, nicely be like, why don't you use the horn? Just straight away, well, you're wrong, you're clearly a failure. But that, nice.
Yeah. But just chill out, man. Like, it's fine. But no, I don't really understand why they put that in there. I guess it's just to kind of have another little plot. But
it was just so Charles could be like, shout at him, be like, you're a captain's son. How do you not know this? You're like, what?
Yeah, that also could not have been in there very easily.
Like,
so
what? But again, it's again too, because it's like, sorry, I just like jumped back and forth. It was when, they did the flashback to her like drowning. And he was like, oh, but I saved you. And I was like, yes, but you also tried to drown her. Like, you don't get points. You don't get points for being the hero here. What is happening?
I saved you. This is my version of Charles from Case of Texas. Stop. What are you doing?
Oh, what was your favorite kill on the boat?
Oh, God. I quite like the sauna one. I thought that was actually quite savage.
Yeah.
I would like to have seen more gore, but again, I don't know if that was down to budget or whatever. But I actually thought like the aftermath of that was quite cool.
I really thought that was going in his face, not his stomach, but I really liked it.
Mm. What about you, James?
To be honest, I thought the boat kills were pretty underwhelming all round. So I'm not sure. The sauna one was different. To be honest, I was just surprised there was a sauna at all. So the whole section, you're like, wow, this is an interesting turn.
What is this boat?
I guess when the guy who warns him about Jason, when he dies, that was quite like a surprising thing, I suppose. That was interesting. But
yeah,
I thought for a section of the film that takes up such a big part of it, I thought the boat was generally quite dull.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about you, Tal?
To be fair, I mostly asked that question because I had sauna in my mind and then you took it. And I was like, damn. No, it's fine. I do like the dance floor kill only because I think that was actually some of the better acting in the film. Because that, I can't remember that actress. Character.
And he chucks her across the floor. That's quite good, I guess.
That's fucking brutal. Like, I know Jason doesn't care for humans, but he just like threw her and I was like, that stunt must have actually hurt.
Mm.
But you could see her like genuinely panic as she got like higher. So I thought that was pretty cool.
It was weird though, because like as soon as he threw her, the music stopped and all the lights turned off. So again, is that like some indication that he is a supernatural thing?
Yes, he controls all the electricity now.
I keep asking if he's a supernatural thing. I think he just is, isn't he? Like, I think I just need to accept this.
I think the film makes more sense if he is.
Yes. So we'll just go with that.
We're gonna have to. I do think it's funny when they were like, they found the weapons. Sorry, they found the dead bodies, and then the like boxing team went to get the weapons, or whoever that team was. And then they were like, what are you gonna take? Is nothing but this gun. And it was like the most intense, stupid pause ever. And it just fucking cracked. I was like, what is happening? Who taught these kids to act? What is going on? Again, I'm not blaming the actors for that, because that would have been direction as well. But like, why?
Why did you make these choices? Why? Whoever directed this film.
Mm.
Should we leave it there?
Yeah, I got to. Yeah. All right, see you in six.
See you in a bit.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there, listeners. Are you looking for something a bit different this month? Why not check out
From the Banks of Dewey Lake, it's the Dewey Pod Monster.
They're the original consumption podcast, so they cover things from films, even beer at one point. So why not check them out? They are covering a few films this month, including Dawn of the Dead, Roadhouse, and Iron Claw. So give them a listen. That's Dewey Pod Monster, also part of the You Run Network.
So we were talking about,
so I mean, should we just get to when they get to
Manhattan?
Because yeah, he didn't get to New York. Well, they get to New York, but not even Manhattan at that point. It's just, yes,
so we did our favorite kill on the boat.
Yeah,
well, like favorite moment on the boat. So feeling, yeah, favorite moment in Manhattan.
I mean, that first bit is also chaotic. Like, they're like hunted down by these drug addicts and rapists at one point. And a lot of the deaths occur at that point rather than actually Manhattan, like rather than the actual New York City bit. It's all the like weird alleyways, and it's very odd.
How long was he in Manhattan for? Was it like 10 minutes of the film?
I reckon so. I reckon it's got to be like, I don't know, something ridiculous. Like, I don't know, like 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Not very long.
Favorite kill. I mean, I think Charles's death was pretty savage, actually. Just being like dunked into, I don't know if that was acid or
just dirty, disgusting.
By a lot of disgusting stuff.
Yeah.
And then like the nice teacher, just the car just blows up.
So she dies. What about that?
Yeah, she dies. And then like the love interest, she's like, oh, I just feel like everything I love leaves me. And he's like, yeah, but it's not going to happen this time. And he's like, well, actually, it literally has happened.
Like, yeah. And that's it. It's like, don't make that fucking promise, dude, because you're literally still being stalked.
Yeah, and also like all of the people you know have just died.
Yeah. So, no, everyone.
It has happened. Rennie. That's happened. Yeah. Yeah, so I think Charles's one was pretty savage of that part. But
I do feel like they match the deaths, because yeah, like by this point we do not like Charles. So he gets quite a gory death, whereas like you say, like the female teacher, we never really have a problem with her. So hers is like, oh, she, you know, she just died wrong place, wrong time. As opposed to some brutal murder.
Yeah. I mean, what did you make of all like the drug addict bit when he's about to rape her and stuff? Like, that seemed very unnecessary to me.
I forgot about that bit. Like, because again, when you remember Jason Takes Manhattan, I forgot about other baddies. Yeah, it just was a bit unnecessary, a bit like, where, like, again, this is a slasher, what the fuck? Were they trying to say, like, is that what New York's actually like? Are they trying to be like, this is the real gritty side of New York? Like, every, because again, like, when they get to the coffee shop and the girl, they're like, we're being stalked, and they're like, welcome to New York. Are they trying to just be like, yeah, it's actually a horrible place and all this? So what are they trying to tell us?
If the whole film was in New York, that's kind of like a cool way to take it, right? Like, this city's full of, this obviously isn't necessarily true, but like the idea, this idea of New York, this version of New York is full of criminals and people that don't care about quote unquote weirdos. Yeah. And how does someone like Jason react to that? And then there's a moment when they first get there where he kind of is kind of getting the, you know, the drug guys and the rapist guys, he kills them. And it's like, oh, this is like a fun use of Jason as this, like, you know, he's going to kill these guys who are more, you know, don't care about him or evil, more evil than him or whatever. But it lasts for like 5 minutes and then they just go back to the less interesting stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Like
that whole section when, you know, they actually do go to Manhattan and he's on the underground and Times Square and that sort of stuff is by far and away like the best stuff in the whole film.
Yeah, I agree. Because that's kind of what you're here for, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like that's what you want.
I kind of love him on the underground because it is just, as you say, like everyone just like, as a weirdo in a hockey mask, like no one seems phased until he kind of gets closer and they realize he is actually trying to kill. But even then they don't really react. It's like,
And that's why having him go to Manhattan or a big city is a fun idea because you can do those sort of like jokes and. But yeah, just they just don't do it for long enough. And the most of it's, you know, in a sewer or in a dock or on a boat. And it's like, okay, well,
why? I really don't know. I don't know why. Why call it Manhattan and then barely be there?
Well, you found out something about what the writers decided.
Well, I was reading up about the film and they said that Paramount had two ideas for a new Jason film, one of which was that it would be all set on a boat and it would be kind of a claustrophobic horror like Alien or something where he's like slowly taking down members of the crew. And the other idea would be him in New York. And the director talked about they had these ideas of like he'd be on the Statue of Liberty and he would be doing all of this stuff. And then they ended up kind of, I guess, just like doing both of those ideas to not the full extent in which they can be done.
They could have just made that two separate films.
Yeah,
especially if they were going to make several more anyway.
Yeah.
But I think I've said that this about a few films recently. Is like a lot of films do try and do that. They almost try and do too much. Mm. Like they've obviously got two ideas that could have been a whole film and they're trying to give us loads of backstory about these random characters.
And yeah.
This random uncle somehow involved. I said, it's too much. Like, all we want is Jason stalking people in New York. Like, that was a simple concept.
That's the thing with slashers. Like, that you're not asking for a lot. When you watch a film like this, all you want is something like with good kills and something like an hour and a half. And just something that kind of just gets to the point and is kind of brutal. And like, that's kind of what you want with a slasher. And yeah, I think you're right. I think it just, there was too much in this film.
Mm.
Way too much. But then that's also kind of a reason why I rate it, because it is also just fucking chaotic.
They tried. They definitely tried. But it's like one of the most chaotic. I forgot the guy's name. I even had the cast open, but then I switched it. Was it Julius?
The boxer.
Yeah,
the boxer guy.
Mm.
I'm sure it began in a J, but I'll get it wrong.
Yeah, it's Julius.
But again, like how he dies by boxing. So again, completely relevant to his character because that was all we knew him for. But also like, I don't know how to word it, but he just seems, we came across it in February because it was Black History Month and I cannot remember her name, but someone we follow on the Instagram was doing lots of history and it was about spooks, which is why we changed the name. Because a spook in a film actually refers to like the stereotypical black character who's like overreacting and like easily scared and freaking out. And as soon as he came on and started doing that, I was like, he is the epitome of what she was describing. And I'll try and find the video for the Instagram because it was really interesting. I think we did share it at the time, but I can share it again. But I could just, every time he was on screen, it was almost that like the black actor having to act black because he was just trying to fit that stereotype in that role. Even to the point that he's, like his death was like, this kid is supposed to be like this boxer undefeated. He goes like for 2 minutes and he's out of breath to the point he's collapsing. Although admittedly he has just paddled for I don't know how long because the adults in the boats refuse to help.
Jason. And yeah. I guess when like, no, he's, if you're fighting someone that just had, there's absolutely nothing going on with the other person and they're just not reacting at all. you're going to be fucking knackered. And like all of his wrists, like his knuckles were bloody. Like
he did paddle for like a day as well. So, but I don't know. It was just, I don't know. I just feel like he was done dirty in that death of like his literal head being knocked off. I said, what? It's like killer clowns all over again.
Killer clowns all over again. Knock my block off. It was.
Oh, it's happening. Poor guy. So he deserved better than that. It was just
justice for Julius.
Justice for Julius.
Yeah. I think Julius would have been quite a good final guy, actually.
Yeah.
He would be quite a cool one to, because he at least has something different about him. Like he had a bit more of a personality. So I think he would have been better to be with, I guess, Rennie, like the final people to survive.
Because we didn't think he was going to survive. Because that was it. He appeared in the lifeboat and was like, because they didn't think he was alive. And he was like, if I can survive, you can survive. So he was kind of like the hype man for the group. Like, come on, we can fucking survive. We can do this.
Yeah.
But then, Rennie, as a final girl?
She's not the best, is she? She's not the greatest out there. She's got a lot of trauma from her past and from drowning. And so that's what I was trying to make sense of, is when she was seeing all these visions of Jason, which also happens in on the boat, when they're in New York, when they're in Manhattan, like, didn't really understand the relevance of that really. Again, it didn't really need to be done. Again, it was just too much, like all this childhood trauma, and it was just pointless to me. And the fact that they were just like, she was seeing Jason everywhere. It was confusing. I didn't get that I thought that maybe Jason had changed into a child or something at one point, or it wasn't straightforward.
No, I thought it was going to be that like she lost her little brother or something. So it took me a while to realize it was Jason that she was seeing, because I thought it was going to be like someone she knew that she'd seen drown. And that's why she was scared of water. But like, because I get what they were doing, trying to give her a connection to him, but she didn't talk to Jay. Like, do you know what I mean? They didn't even have a conversation. So, like, why give them a connection? It wasn't like she was going to use it to survive and be like, hey, but I nearly drowned too. I don't know.
Did she really nearly be drowned by Jason? That was real, right? So that was an actual flashback.
I think so.
Yeah. So her story is that her parents died, then she nearly drowned in the lake because of Jason, and then she was scared of water from then.
Yeah.
Then 10 years go by, seemingly nothing happens, and then on the boat she starts having like hallucinations or not of child Jason coming to get her again.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So I didn't know if that bit when she was a child was real.
Yeah, because then maybe being on the water triggered her to have these flashbacks to the kid that tried to drown her in the lake.
Yeah, okay.
So that's her backstory.
But again, so overcomplicated. I was just like, they could have, I thought it was going to be that her parents died at the same time she nearly drowned, and that's where her trauma all came from, not two separate events. Like, this poor girl, she's got a lot of fucking trauma now. Like,
and she's got Charles as her guardian, like,
who tried to drown her again.
Yeah, stop. What are you doing? Anyway, forever will be proud of that impression. So we've got Freddy Krueger and Charles from Jason Takes Manhattan.
The big two horror characters.
I was going to say, who's worse at this point, Jason or fucking Charles?
Charles, I fucking hate Charles.
Yeah.
Jason all the way.
Yeah. I don't know. Too much.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else we need to talk about or ask about in the actual film.
No, I think that the kills. Charles's one was pretty good. Julius's one was pretty good. Mm. Are there any other standouts for you two, or are they kind of like the main things? And again, we've kind of covered that like everything in Manhattan is good.
Mm.
I am trying to think now. I don't think I've seen Jason in Hell. Does he get flushed down the sewers into hell? Like, is that how he gets there?
I'd love to tell you, but I couldn't tell you. I'll watch it after.
It's probably on DVD in this house that we're currently in somewhere. We can find it.
Thanks. If you guys could just watch that and let me know.
We can watch it tonight.
And then much appreciate it.
A little segment at the end of the podcast being like...
Just FYI.
2 hours later, Katie and James watch it.
2 hours later, Chantelle, we have all the answers.
Like, I don't know, so I will do my research and I will come back to you guys at some point.
Much appreciated. What did you think of the song being back?
Good. I mean, you could tell that it was really remastered and edited to fuck. Like, nothing beats the original one. But you could just tell it was just copied, and it was fine, wasn't it? I mean, it's always good having it in there, but for a bit of nostalgia.
It was funny because they'd clearly tried to make it more obvious that there was actually words.
Oh, do you think?
Yeah. Or I don't know if it's just because we know that now.
Yeah, kill, kill.
Kill, kill, kill.
Cha-cha. Yeah.
Cha-cha-cha, that's a dance. But
yeah, cha-cha-cha.
Just Jason, kill, kill, kill. Cha-cha-cha.
the two priorities, kill and cha-cha.
Oh, that's really tickled. It kind of has to come back though, doesn't it?
Yeah. But you know what? This is the problem with covering this one, is like, once they hit Manhattan, we can hit the key bits, but like, it's kind of done by that point.
Yeah.
You know, the one bit I did actually really like, which I've always liked with this film, is the really small scene when all the kids are listening to their boombox and Jason just walks past and just kicks it. I think that's a really fun little bit.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you're over 6'5". You can just kick anyone's boombox and no one does anything about it.
And obviously that's the bit that's in Manhattan. And as you were saying earlier, Tell, when he like takes his mask off and all of that's very fun and playful. I just wish there was more of that.
I did see somewhere, apparently, when this was released in America and England had a 1 second shorter version, which took out the flip blade.
Oh, okay.
And I think it said butterfly knife. I could only assume they mean that wherever, like, he's...
Yeah.
Which, again, when I watched it, I kind of laughed because I was like, it's not really scary moment, but it is a bit cringy. So I don't know if it was just the English going, we will laugh at that. No one will take that seriously. Or if they were like, no, we can't be seeing knives. Like, I don't know what it was.
But I really cracked it. Yeah. Wonder why they took that out.
Yeah.
Very odd. Anyway, but yeah. Do you want to do spooks?
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm.
So then they go to the sewer.
Yes.
Where the final bit happens, and they find someone and they say, at midnight every night, toxic waste gets flooded through the sewer, so you can't be here. And I was like, there's no way that doesn't happen. Like, that's completely insane.
Yeah.
Like a huge tidal wave of toxic waste comes every single night.
Yeah, that can't be a thing.
And they're just like, oh yeah, of course. Well, we need to get out of here because to avoid the tidal wave.
I love as well that he's like, it comes at midnight and it's 10:02, but I'm still just here.
Yeah.
Like, no. I wouldn't be fucking near that place within like half an hour. Like, no.
Well, he's so shocked at them being there, but it's like, you're there, man.
Like... Why are you here? Like, that's a really good point, actually. I forgot about that.
That is a good point. I know, I would have missed the sewer scene completely. Thank God James is here. Otherwise, we would have gone straight to the spooks.
Straight to spooks. Well, I have got one more bit as well. I've just found, because I've been trying to find stuff for SFX, and this actually tells you at the beginning that it was someone called Jamie Brown that did the SFX. But they're not then listed on IMDb and I can't find anything about it. In typical way, I'll probably find a bunch of stuff to be able to post on Instagram, but I cannot find anything. I have, however, just sent you a WhatsApp picture of the severed SFX close-up head for Julius. And what I love more than fucking anything is you can see where they've tried to stick on fake eyelashes. And one of them is just like... the weirdest fuck. He also doesn't have an ear on one side of his head. Is that like a boxing thing, do you think? I don't know where that's rugby where they get like cauliflower, isn't it? Not boxing.
That's rugby, I think.
Yeah, wrong sport. But so it was composed of a hard cast foam and painted to resemble skin. So that's what they basically just threw onto the roof. It just made me laugh.
This is the other thing. There wasn't a lot of gore in this, so I guess there's not a lot to say about the SFX.
Well, this was the thing, because there was like a whole SFX team and there was like a mechanical SFX person, but I was like, it's just not telling you anything about it. But we have seen this in films before where it's from like, what did we say, 1989? Where there just isn't, there wasn't the internet, they weren't uploading on Instagram while filming. So yeah. I guess it's, also when you type in Jason SFX, there's got so many films to cover.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, like Friday the 13th, you know, Tom Savini did a lot of the films, so it's gonna come up with him first, I guess.
That's true, actually. I found a lot for the first one, but for some reason for this one, I managed to find a severed head and not much more. Because I wanted to see like the toxic waste face that we see at the end, but
that's the thing with the effects for this. It's crazy that like the first one, there was so much to talk about and so much information and a lot of behind the scenes things. And it's weird that as they get older and older, that it's kind of the less that you find out about them, because Friday the 13th part one compared to this one, you know, it's, I suppose people just don't give a shit about this one.
They want to see Jason. They don't actually care about the behind the scenes, but I do.
But yeah. Okay, so spooky scenes. Tell, I will come to you first. What was your favorite spooky scene of Jason Takes Manhattan? And how many spookies are you giving Jason Takes Manhattan out of 5?
I am gonna, favorite spooky scene.
I know this always throws us off this question.
Because there's not, I think for this one, there's not many great moments to choose from, annoyingly. I'm gonna go with I'm gonna go with Jason seeing himself in Times Square and then like on the billboard and then turning around and looking at the camera and just that kind of breaking moment. I just think it's great. So not even any of the kills, I just think that was fucking great. Yeah. Where it's like that, I think in that point you could see them kind of having fun with it. Which, especially when you're drunk watching this, was probably like, why is Jason looking at me? And probably a bit scary.
Yeah.
Here to break some hearts. I think I'm going to give this a 2. Like, I don't think it's very well written. It's definitely not one of the best Friday 13s. I actually feel like 2 is a bit generous, but only because it is still quite fun. It is a typical slasher. You can put it on while you're drunk and have fun with it. So I think I'm going to go with a 2. Which, also, I can't find anything for SFX, so annoyed about that.
Okay. I was just looking. I'm so sorry, Sal.
No, it's fine. You were just
our previous scores to see.
For Friday 13th. Fuck. You gave it a 3, and I gave it a 3.5.
Okay. And then just being clear that you gave 2.5 spookies, you gave Hereditary 2.5. So Hereditary is half.
You're right, actually. I should give this 1.5 because it's. actually, I should give this a 3. It's better than Hereditary.
Fuck you. Don't try and upset me.
I'm sorry. James, over to you. What was your favorite spooky moment and what are you giving it spookies out of 5?
So in terms of a spooky moment, I think the best kill of the film by far is one that which you actually kind of described as problematic, but I'll stick with it anyway. And it's Julius's head being punched off and landing in a bin. Like, it is the most visually memorable thing. Because I think, as I kind of said earlier, I think lots of the kills, especially on the boat, are quite boring. It's just kind of Jason bashing them over the head most of the time.
They die really easy.
Yeah, that was actually inventive, I think, that one. And in terms of out of 5, it's out of 5, right?
Yeah.
I, watching it again this time, which I think might be the second or third time that I watched it, it was actually considerably worse than I remembered it being. And I also thought it was quite like the camera movements were quite like creepy, and it was almost felt like in that way, like much more, what is this? This is all a bit odd. The stuff in Manhattan is very fun. So I was going to give it 1.5, if I'm allowed to give a half.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is pretty low, but
it's quite low.
I'm not sure where that 1.5 comes from, to be honest with you. So could have been worse.
Nice. My spooky moment, I think I'm going to go with the running Charles theme here. So Charles's death. Because actually, I think that one's quite, that's pretty intense, Charles's death. It's a pretty horrific way to go. So I'm going to copy James and give it 1.5. For the same reasons, like I used to quite have a lot of time for this film, but I definitely wouldn't revisit it anytime soon. Although it does make me want to watch the others, it makes me want to watch Jason Goes to Hell and Jason X again. It makes me want to revisit them. So it's obviously done something. And I guess the 1.5 is kind of nostalgia, because like it was one of the first franchises and things that I sort of started with on my horror journey. And also, yeah, as James says, the bits in Manhattan are quite fun. So that's my reason for my 1.5. So yeah.
See, the thing is, I joked about giving it 1.5, but like now I'm like, oh, maybe it wasn't the most stupid suggestion. I've also realized that I gave The Witch 1.5, so this is actually beating The Witch.
Did you? I missed that bit.
It's not a good film.
So you gave The Witch 1.5 and you were giving this 2.
I'm not great with scores, if I'm honest. Like, for me to give something a 1, I have to really dislike it.
It's your opinion, man. It's just...
Yeah. But a 1 for me is, like, I really dislike the film. So 1.5, like, this is a fun enough film, so I don't feel like a 1 for me is... Yeah. I have some proper problems with some films recently. James, come to you first. Would you survive Jason in Manhattan? And you can't do Charlie's thing of, yes, because I don't live there.
Well, not to copy Charlie, but I think, yes, I would survive. I'm going to confidently say that, but only in certain situations. Like, I think if I was on the boat, the houseboat at the beginning, I would survive 100%. The boat going to Manhattan, I'm pretty sure you could quite easily survive that.
Just jump off.
Like, I would have just gone into the safety boat, whatever it's called, way earlier. Yeah. It's been like, see you guys later. And then New York, I feel like, you know, I feel like it would be relatively easy to escape.
Mm.
So I'm going to back myself, because there's not that many ties to Jason. Like,
yeah,
when I was reading about the film, they said it was an inspiration for the new Scream, for the later Scream film when they're in New York. And those scenes on the subway are like inspired by Jason Takes Manhattan. But in that film, have to try and find the killer. They're like, they have some sort of motivation to do that. In this one, all you have to do is escape. But if he was in London, I feel like we could get away pretty easily.
Yeah, getting an Uber.
Yeah. They should just go an Uber.
How did you escape? I just got a taxi. That's fine. It's quite easy, actually. I had a lovely day.
Yeah.
What about you, Katie? Would you survive?
I'm going to say I would this time. I never do. But yeah, like when they were wandering around and they turned around and they saw him, because when you think it's the end, but then you see Jason like dripping wet and all of that. That's at that point I would have just been like, taxi. And then at least, because he's walking, and I know he's supernatural, none of it makes sense, but at least I'm in a car and I'm relatively safe at that point in my life. So I'm going to say yes, because I think that you can. I think there's a way with this one, and I don't normally say yes, but even me, I think I would this time, and I wouldn't be in a fucking sewer where like you have to fucking have 10 minutes before you're about to like have the most painful death of all time. Just like wouldn't be there. What about you, Tel?
I'm gonna say yes, but
you're surviving.
But as you said, it's much easier if he's just a man. If he is actually this weird supernatural thing, like if you get in a taxi, is he just going to suddenly become your driver? Like, how is the supernatural shit working?
That would be really good.
Yeah. just wait for you to pay your fare or he'll kill you. Like, but I also feel like, again, the way they're portraying New York is that everyone's violent. You're going to get stabbed. The waitress in the cafe is like, you're going to die. Accept it. Like, and it's also America, they've got guns everywhere. Although I do know the bullets were working. But I also think if somebody realized that he was this murdering psychopath, the taxi man might just drive over him, just run him over. Like, I feel like there's options. There's also like a billion, my maths is terrible, it's probably like a billion people in New York and one him. So, you know, the odds are good.
I felt like he would get distracted really easily. Start killing other people. So you, I mean, we're not very good for the other people, but for you personally, which is a question, yeah. You might kill like hundreds of others. We'd be able to get away.
Yeah.
It's really dark, but like he only wants to kill teenagers. So when I just keep running near teenagers.
How's it going? Yeah.
How's it going? Yeah, great, great. I'm gonna go hang out with the 30-year-olds now. Have fun.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
There we go. Yes, no, no, that's the thing. His beef is with teenagers. Yeah. So you just have to keep running until you turn like 20.
Between 12 and 20, like you've got a lot of running to do.
Oh shit to do, man.
Yeah. Just keep moving. As soon as you like everyone for their 13th or the day before their 13th gets a pair of running trainers and you just got to keep going.
You just got to keep escaping. Get that cardio.
I love the idea as well that like, how does Jason know? Like, is he IDing people to double check?
How old are you?
Actually, he'd be a great bouncer for a nightclub. I know like in America it's 21, but over here, if someone was underage, there you go. He's found his victim. Like, ah, you can come in and drink. You, nah, right, off to Jason.
Yeah, go see Jason.
Yeah, sorry, this is fake. You need to talk to Jason. Have fun or not. Like,
it also, like, weirdly, sorry to keep going on about this, like, as in, because we've kind of wrapped it up, but the idea that like that bit of water follows all the way from Camp Crystal Lake or wherever it was to Manhattan, and also he knew what boat to be on. He's weirdly smart. He's a really good swimmer. He like knows how to be in multiple places at once.
He also knew really well how to sabotage the boat.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be in the engine room for the boat. Like if we were all in the engine room for a boat, we'd be like, I don't know any of this does. But he's just like, this will specifically set things on fire. But I know how boats work.
That's a really good point.
He knows all.
He was thinking, which would be the most inconvenient way I could sabotage this boat for my victims?
I love as well that we're like, he's a really good swimmer. This is literally the story of a child that drowned. And they're like, you need to believe, though, that he's this incredible swimmer. Like, what? No, this is horrible. Stop mocking this child. But I do believe that the water would go straight to Manhattan because that's why that ferry was on that. I mean, I say river. I don't think it was a river. I don't know where they started.
I don't know. But no, I mean with the teenagers because they weren't on a...
But because they were obviously on that water anyway, I guess it kind of had to end up there eventually.
I guess.
I'm going to look it up. Where was Crystal Lake? And how close is it?
That boat scene was like 2 years before. Yeah.
They almost, had it been one more week, they wouldn't have been teenagers anymore.
Yeah.
So close.
Just keep running. One more week. Right, we can do this. I'm actually trying to find where Camp Crystal Lake is.
Well, I don't know where this film is based, the one before. This is my only issue.
Yeah.
Because I haven't watched the previous one in a while.
But it wasn't Camp Crystal Lake where he was stuck.
No.
Because that's where... That's because then the guy starts telling her the story at the beginning, being like, yeah, this is Camp Crystal Lake where Jason...
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Yeah, you're right. It was just another...
I know only Google Maps isn't giving me like a boat journey. but also one Camp Crystal Lake's in Florida, so I don't think that was the option. I don't know. I don't know where they like technically started.
Oh, I think it was Camp Crystal Lake, actually. Mm. So he was telling the story about Camp Crystal Lake at Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah, because he was like, oh, yeah. This is why.
Oh, yeah, that's the whole fucking point.
Yeah.
It? Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I don't know where. Yeah.
Just FYI as well, there's a Crystal Lake in England. And it looks like the sort of place you'd go to die.
Oh, excellent.
Looking at the pictures, so...
Whereabouts is it? Let's add it to our list of where to go.
It's not far. I'll send you the coordinates.
You guys can do a live podcast there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, will we get murdered? Yeah, we'll have to have all the cameras facing the woods.
Will we survive? Who knows?
Yeah, will we? Amazing! That was our Friday 13th. Number volume, how they say it, part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Thank you so much, James, for joining us. If you want to check out what we've got coming up next, follow us on all the socials. Check us out on YouTube. You can see us talking, which is more hilarious because you'll realize how much I look at the second screen while we're talking, because that's where all my notes are. And until then, bye.
Bye-bye.
Do you want to say it, James?
Don't die.
We have a new don't die.
That's amazing.
'Cause that bitch is dead.
Let's delve into that a bit deeper.
I'm gonna be like the peacekeeper between you two tonight.
Yeah, don't fuck with the original.
Yeah, don't fuck with the original.